Okay.
On July 1, 1959, I was Chris Warland. I lived at Canterbury Street in Cambridge with my mum and dad. The following day, July 2, I became Warland Private C 2363 1919, with no uncertainty of the future. On July 2, 1959, I travelled to Cambridge Railway Station, complete with railway warrant, destination Quebec Barracks, Northampton. I was met, along with other conscripts, at Northampton Station by a corporal, who very kindly helped us into the back of a 3-ton truck. Nice man, I thought, until the vehicle arrived through the gates and pulled up at the Garde Ramoa training camp. What a change! As the NCO insisted, with no uncertain terms, repeatable language. Who insisted in non-repeatable language to get down and line up. I'd become a member of the Northamptonshire Regiment. We got all our kit, haircut, etc., were assigned to a platoon barrack room. Training commenced, and for 6 weeks I thought we were in hell. PE kit to full battle dress order in zero time, and the last one scrubs a corridor by order of Colour Sergeant Molloy. After the training intake, I was transferred to the 1st Battalion of the 3rd East Anglian Regiment and was posted to Malaya. However, it was suggested by my company commander that I should stay with the North Ants and work my time out as a company clerk. Not likely. I wanted to travel and see some action, was my reply. The thing is, I'd no idea where Malaya was, or even that there was any kind of military activity out there. By this time, the 1st to 3rd had embarked by sea, destination Singapore. We was on embarkation leave, and return were posted to Hendon to await flight to Singapore. My draft code was DWAPE, DWAPE. After 2 or 3 weeks at Hendon, we were sent to Lynham for an RAF flight. This was my first time on an aeroplane and had no idea what to expect. This must have been the same for most of us. The aircraft was a Comet 4 of RAF Transport Command, with the seats facing the tail. We stopped at Cyprus, Pakistan, and Ceylon, and finally landed at Changi in the late evening, transferred by truck to Nee Soon. On arrival at the camp, still in battle dress, we were issued with mattresses, bedding, which we had to carry some distance in the heat of the night. Should I have really stayed at Northampton as a clerk? A few days at Nee Soon, and then off by truck to Kota Tinggi and Silver City. We all know what that was like. A friend of mine from Birmingham was in the Sherwood Foresters, has in the last 3 years been back to Kota Tinggi, and tells me it haven't changed. Even the cinema's still there. Jungle training was tough, and as we all know, by the end of this training, my thoughts went back to Northampton. However, my name appeared on battalion orders to report to the battalion headquarters orderly room. I was interviewed by the chief clerk, Colour Sergeant Hewitt, and was offered a job as training, amendment, and movement clerk. I accepted this opportunity. No more jungle, no more guard duties, just once a week duty clerk, which meant sleeping in the orderly room. Hardship? It was then off to Ypres. The orderly room at Ypres was between the RSM, RF Baldley, and Captain and
Okay.
was between the RSM, RFF Baldry, and the Adjutant, Captain Randall's offices. Colour Sergeant Hewitt, Sergeant Heron, Corporal Barry Brittlebank, Lance Corporal Marshall Alan Angel, and Bert Eggleton were my colleagues. This thing.
Okay.
Things went along steadily, and somehow I met Barry Wilkes from A Company. Seemed to remember he was Batman's Captain Thorogood. He had access to the officers' mess and wangled it so we could use the officer's sailing club at Malacca. He was able to sail a dinghy, so we used to go out at weekends after making sandwiches in the cookhouse. In Civic Street, Wilkes worked for ERA and was...
Okay.
..and was keen to find someone in Ypres with an interest in sports car. We met the president, Alan Bussons, of the Pera Motor Club and became members. I rode one of his motorcycles at the Medeca Sprint in Ypres and made the fastest time for two wheels, and Wilkes made fastest time of the day overall driving a Cooper Jack car. We spent a lot of time at Bussons' house and around Ypres, tinkering with, practicing, testing bikes and cars. I was also able to ride at the Royal Grass Track at Kuala Kangsar, took two trophies which were presented by the Agong, King of Malaya.
Okay.
When we went down to Malacca, things had to change. No more rushing about on motorbikes, or so I thought. Brigade officers came through to the orderly room, and I was probably one of the first to see them before they were published within the battalion. One item was of interest to me. Most of it had no meaning to the likes of us squaddies. It was the brigade motorcycle trials.
Okay.
Which were being held in June at Taiping. What's this, I thought. Spoke to the MTO, who agreed to intent.
Start from agreed, okay.
Agreed to indent for his quota of 9 WD matchless 350 motorcycles, and that we should enter a team under the name of the 1st Battalion 3rd East Anglian Regiment. Battalion orders requested that interested personnel should report to the MOT forthwith. Two teams of three were... Two teams of three were formed, and we were duly entered in the competition. The A team was Sergeant Templeman, Private Neville and Private Tompkinson. Riders in the B team were Private Warland, Private Schowler and the Reverend Captain Stanley. Of course, this was just the start. Practice sessions were arranged, and so it's possible to get a lot of the motorcycling... So it's possible to get a lot of motorcycle riding. This was our off-duty relaxation. The teams loaded the bikes, left for Taiping. In the regular three-tonner. Riders accompanying the motorcycles in the back, a bit like grooms looking after their horses while in transit. This was the 1960 Brigade Trials. The next event, in September 1960, was the Royal Signals Motorcycle Trials Championships held in Singapore. Same routine, the travel, and we stayed on the Gurkha camp. We had to eat their food. I remember it was all curry or a derivative of, and we all seemed to enjoy it. The final event which we competed in was the 1961 Brigade Trials.
Yeah, that's fine.
Again, at Taiping. This time we had to travel as before, this time from Malacca. The B team competed well both in the cross-country and observation sections and were rewarded with the first place in the team event. We all felt satisfied with the result and celebrated that evening in the usual way that the winners of an army trophy would. The final competition which I competed in was the aforementioned grass track at Kuala Kangsar, which was held only a day before I was due to embark on SS Navassa for home. This was cutting it fine, but the CO, Lieutenant Colonel Holmes, agreed with the organisers and they assured me a lift from Kuala Kangsar to Singapore in time to catch a boat. This we did in an Aston Martin DB2, driven very expertly by a Dr. Barney Hassan. One other thing I recall, apart from riding two wheels, that myself and one other spent a weekend on a fish farm near Malacca. This was owned by an academic by the name of Dr. Prowse, who occasionally entertained troops. He farmed carp, and each day we dined on fresh fish netted daily. Tennis as well was the beach. Tennis, as well as time on the beach, was another pastime at weekends. So, although I have no really army stories for you chaps, who spent their time in the bush on operations, It shows that there is another way to spend your time as a national serviceman if the opportunity arises. I was very lucky. I met and made friends with some very good chaps, but unfortunately didn't keep in contact with any of them. Richard has made it possible to meet again, even though not any of my group, for which I thank him.
Looking back at my time, okay?
To summarise, looking back at my time, I, along with most others, never wanted to do national service. But now, looking back, what a time I had, an experience that was never to be had again, never a country that I never thought I might go back to, a country that I never even knew anything about. And now it's all over and I really enjoyed it.